Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything. Stay locked in and fully loaded. Bashani Radio and Verkay Radio. They said we couldn't do it, but we global now. Worldwide. Boom. In your face.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Grown Folks Talking Live with your woman, transformation expert, social guru, and just overall fabulous person, which is why I can bring so many fabulous people on, and you are listening because you are a reflection of me, and I'm a reflection of you. We have another episode today where we get to relax. Take a deep breath. Transform while elevating our mind, our bodies, our spirits, and our souls. You know, nowadays everyone can talk about sex and chaos and gossip, all that craziness that's going on. But here with Grown Folks Talking Live, we take time to pause and recognize the greatness that's happening while having real old school conversations. I mean, those old school back in the day, kitchen table, cookout, just being honest, not being offended by things, grown folk conversation. So if this is your first time tuning in, make sure you tell the children, hey, this is my time. Send them to another room. You have a teenager or young adult, you might want them to chime in and go ahead and sit back and relax while we get ready to dive into a transformational experience. Awesome. As always, you all, you know, we start off with a moment of gratitude. And my gratitude today is because we have a special guest host. You know, we don't do regular interviews on here. We have people come on and they actually sometimes take over the show. So this gentleman I'm bringing on, we were on Quarantine Radio together. We did a relationship series together on there. We talked about the ins and outs of life transitions, depressions, sexual engagements, interacting with regular people. I mean, it went on and on and on from a socialization standpoint, relationship standpoint. And we connected over a year ago. So it's an honor and a privilege to have Mr. Nathaniel J. Ali with us on today. And I'm so grateful how God, the universe, the omniverse brings people back together. Nathaniel, are you there?
I am here.
Yes, give it up for you. And how are you doing on today, sir?
I'm blessed. I'm well. How are you?
Awesomeness. Doing the same. Blessed and well. Always a great place to be. Now, on our show, this is your first time on. We start off with gratitude. And so I'd like to ask you, what is your philosophy on gratitude? And what are you grateful for today?
My philosophy on gratitude, I just developed a philosophy on this. Like you already know, I just started boxing. I've been doing martial arts for a while, but I just started boxing. And one of the things I realized when it comes to boxing is that anything, everything you do is a reflection of who you are spiritually and mentally. And so my philosophy behind gratitude is this phrase that I came up with whenever I'm like, you know, in a rut or if I'm boxing. It's you know, if it comes, let it come. If it goes, let it go. No matter what, flow like water.
So that's Buddhism, flow like water, Taoism, all that. Yes, I know what you're talking about. Yes.
So no matter what you do, you know, you need to flow like water, because to me, you know, our bodies are made up mostly of water anyway. And I feel as if in order for you to be grateful, like you have to be grateful for, you know, the good and the not so good. Because I don't believe in bad. Bad is a perspective. Like,
right.
You know, bad doesn't really exist. So, you know, that's basically my whole philosophy on that. And I guess one thing I'm really grateful for is this young lady that I recently met. I ain't going to say her name. You know, she's watching though. Yeah, I got her over here on FaceTime. But I'm grateful for her because she recently taught me through a conversation, just one conversation, that no matter how young you are, you could be 5 years old, you could be 55 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Your ability to forgive, that is basically, you know, a reflection of how far along you are spiritually.
Yes.
So I'm grateful for her because even if she doesn't know it or not, slowly but surely, she's teaching me the art of forgiveness. And I feel like as African-American man, you know, we struggle with forgiving. And it's, you know, because, you know, go all the way back to slavery, post-traumatic slave disorder, like we struggle with truly forgiving. Like we say we forgive, but if we truly learn what it means to forgive, then we will become grateful for the ups and the downs within that moment that we need to forgive and within that personal situation. So,
you know, it's so awesome. It's so beautiful how you shared that this young lady is helping you elevate. And I was like, oh my God, that is the most wonderful gratitude, because relationships are important. Our friendships are important. Mm-hmm. People that we work with, you know, even in social media, who we engage with. And the fact that she's helping you grow. And I'm sure you're a blessing in helping her grow as well. And I was like, yes, giving up that. And I'm going to have gratitude for being able to recognize the beauty, even within me disagreeing with something you said. It is the post-traumatic stress slavery syndrome.
Uh-huh.
Right? Yeah. Our people talk about that so often, right? And I think it's a conversation that we don't ever have, but we kind of mention it and everybody's like, oh yeah, you know, stress, right? Like we stress from like today and yesterday. Uh-huh. We ain't stressed from, and then even before that, our history, our livelihood, our spirit is way older than 400 years. It's millions and millions of years old, right? So people, if anything, I'd rather say I got royalty syndrome from remembering being a pharaoh and having all this land and taking care of the people and then having that erased and stolen and then being like, there's memories and dreams that kind of look like something I've never seen, but I don't understand it. And then being like, I got this calling to be great and take over everything and nobody gets it. Versus like, oh yeah, you remember that little 400 years out of that million billion we lived, man, that junk was rough, bro.
Right.
After that, we had the Wall Street, we had businesses, we were a majority in government, we started schools, we stood up against oppression. It's so much greatness within our people. And like you said, the good and the bad, and I'm grateful that you mentioned the good and the bad. It's all about choice perspective. I ain't never said that before, but I might write a book called Choice Perspective.
Please do.
You know what I'm saying? Choice perspective. What are we choosing to look at and how are we choosing to look at it? Give thanks, God, for the download.
Yeah,
like, yeah. I think that's one of the things that I'm grateful for is you sharing your perspective, for one, for two, having those things, for three, being able to have a platform where we can discuss that. And the people listening, for them to be able to take these same conversations back. I have people inboxing me a lot and they're just like, they go into tears after hearing some of these calls that I do or hearing the podcast or seeing a post. I'm sure you have the same experience because you're also a coach and you work with people. You also do a lot of spiritual work for people with readings and energy and crystals and stuff as well. The spiritual work is real and the self-care is even realer when you're a healer. Oh,
It is.
When you're a healer. So,
that's a book right there.
Right, that's another book.
That's a book.
I'm ready for your synergy. Your synergy got me over here like, hey, I'm going to get off this thing and have a whole, I don't know what I'm going to have, a movie, some Webster, some T-shirt lines. I'm like, what happened to you? I interviewed Coach Nathaniel and he was just there. And
hey, I love it.
So is that what happens when you work with your people? They just start exploding like that?
Honestly, oddly enough, I think my mother told me this recently. Mm-hmm. I think that's what happens whenever I come in contact. And I say this as humbly as I can because this doesn't apply to men. But it happens every time I come in contact with a woman. My mom told me this. She said, whenever you meet somebody, she said, you help them become better versions of themselves. And, like, I didn't understand it until you know, the last relationship I dealt with, to where, you know, regardless of how it ended, I realized, like, you know, I have a habit of bringing a different perspective to people, And it may not even be a perspective that they haven't known. It could just be like that light bulb that has been sitting in the back of their head, but hasn't really gone off to like something that I said or how I acted, like triggered it. It's like, oh, like it's been here, but he Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, that whole thought just boom, there it is. Like, it's just, but yeah, it's always, I think I've always been that way. I don't know why I've been that way.
Because you're divinely old soul manifested back in this time period, because we need you, because we need warriors, and it's time for war. And people are scared to admit that, even though they see it and they feel it. Mm-hmm. They're like, what is this energy? What is this thing? Why is it crazy? Because we got to rise up. So yeah. I'm glad you made it back to rise up.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So gratitude, you all, we're going to pause for a minute. I want you to take a deep breath in through your mouth. As you hold that breath, think to yourself, I am grateful for my life, and complete that sentence. Exhale. Inhale again. You'll feel the breath going deeper into your body, down into your diaphragm. Inhale through your mouth. Again, I am grateful for life, and exhale. No, three is the key. Inhale one more time as deeply as you can. I am grateful for life, and exhale. For today's meditative moment, you all, I want you to stay in that space of I am grateful for life. And while listening to this song called Searching Out Loud. All that gratitude is so important in our lives. The power of gratitude and how we can allow it to manifest. If it's your first time being on the show, make sure you have your pen and your pad ready, because we dive in, we get deep, and we make sure that we have the availability to take notes. Your meditation today is to take time and think about what you're grateful for and make that a part of your daily routine. Make that something that you do in the morning and in the evening. Of course, if you're driving right now, please don't write it down. If you're in a place where you can write it or you can voice record it, be sure that you take time to do that. And we're gonna go into the meditation for peace from my download, Letters of Devotion, Prayers Through Meditation. And the book will be available this year. Here we go.
Prayer through meditation for peace. Creator of all, thank you for this day and the moments that have been presented in my life as an opportunity for growth and insight. Each experience is presented in my life to help me understand more about myself and the world which I currently exist. Help me to gain whatever it is you may have for me to be a better person through these trying times. I release confusion, frustration, anger, bitterness, and a hard heart that has arisen in me against those who I feel have wronged me. I embrace peace, calmness, and serenity, all wrapped in divine love and wisdom. Thank you for the peace that is given me in the midst of the storm. Thank you for the ability to maintain patience and compassion in my actions towards others despite unpleasant situations. Thank you for allowing my mind, spirit, and body to be freed of negative thoughts, attachments, and aches, and pouring into me a peace and clarity that increases my focus, resilience, and energy to benefit the greater good through my daily actions. I embrace peace at this moment. I wrap myself in tender love and peace at this moment. I give thanks for peace being with me, filling me, and surrounding me at all times. Thank you for the peace.
Yes, you all. Thank you for the peace. My friend Nathaniel, how are you feeling right now after the meditation? And is meditation something that you practice? If so, why? If not, why not?
After hearing it, it puts things in the more of a bigger perspective. And it's ironic, it was talking about peace, because I have an Arabic name. So my full name actually means God's gift, new son of peace.
Wow.
So, and I think that I do actually practice meditation. I started doing it 4 years ago when I was misdiagnosed with a mental illness, because it was the only way that I could calm everything down. Mm-hmm. And lately I've been struggling with it, but I still find time to try to do it. Even if it's sitting in my car, if I'm in class, like, it doesn't matter. But I love meditating. And I think through meditation, it doesn't matter if you do astral projection, it doesn't matter what it is. I feel as if, like, through meditation, you know, you can actually learn more about yourself. Because I know I'm not a religious person, so I grew up with a Christian mother who's an ordained minister, and my dad was a Muslim. And I realized through, like, both faiths, there's, like, I can see why there's a division. But through meditation, I learned a lot more. It's like when you pray, you know, you're speaking to the Most High. Mm-hmm. But when you meditate, you're listening. And through, like, meditation, like, it's for me, I love it more than praying, because to me, it's like the universe, the omnipotent, like the Most High, already knows what you want, already knows what you need. Mm-hmm. All he/she needs you to do is just listen.
Right.
Just listen. Get in tune with your higher self, you know, actually tap into what your purpose is in life. Because one thing I realized with, even though I'm 26, it's like every woman that I've dealt with, I realized we fell out because, one, they're not on my journey. It doesn't matter if they look spiritual, if they look the part or not. It was the fact that they weren't on my path. And I realized that with who I am and who I'm supposed to be and who I've been and places I'm supposed to go, I realized that I have to have a stronger person with me. And I don't think most men realize that. Through meditation, I had to grasp that concept. And it was that if you're a strong man, you need a stronger woman. Because you can't have a woman that's not stronger than you. Because you need somebody that can pull you up when you're down. Because if you're a man and you fall down, you're going to fall down hard. And you need that extra. You need that counterpart that's going to be able to yank you up, you know, either by your heart or by your beard, whatever, and be like, look, King, I need you to get it together. I need you to realize, like these negative thoughts that are in your head, like everything that people are saying, like whatever you feel right now, it's not real. You know, it's all an illusion. And, you know, meditation, I think meditation is very essential, especially as a man. Like, if you don't meditate, you're not going to find yourself. Like you really not, you're not gonna find yourself if you don't meditate. So yeah.
Wow, you said a lot of key things. So a stronger woman than the man. So if you're a strong man, you need a stronger woman. I know women mm-hmm. would say as a strong woman, you need a strong man. Mm-hmm. And I know you add the ER, right? Like you made a comparison. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious about that. My belief system is that there's levels, but there's not really levels. It's more like depth, right? Mm-hmm. Like in the pool, you got your 3 feet, your 6 feet, and maybe some 12 feet. Mm-hmm. I love the 3 feet. Swimming is one of them things I haven't quite mastered yet. So that three, I might go up to the five if I'm feeling real comfortable that day, like, cause I still know I can, you know, I'll jump like, ooh. But then once you get to that six, I'm like, I can't stand up, right? And so like even looking at life, I kind of think of it that way. Like if I could get my mind to that place where it's like, okay, it's still water, mm-hmm. you know, at the end of the day, it don't matter if it's 3 feet or 12, if it's too much water in your body, it's too much water in your body. That's really the reality of the situation. You know, if I can mm-hmm. float in 3 feet, I'm sure I can float in 12 feet, you know, or right. the ocean. So when you say the stronger woman, is it that she's really like stronger than you, like has more ability and capability? Are you saying stronger like she just has the ability to recognize when she might need to come through with superpowers the same way you might have to come through with superpowers for her at times?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's basically what I mean. It's funny you mentioned the pool. I actually learned how to swim by almost drowning in 12 feet.
And I mentioned the 12.
Yeah, like my dad used to do a lot of international trading when I was younger. Mm. And so I snuck into the neighborhood pool when I used to live in Charlotte. And I ended up, you know, trying to swim, caught myself sinking all the way to the bottom. And somehow, like, I hit the bottom and I was able to jump up, you know, enough and grab the ledge. And after that, it was like, hey, you got it. And I was only in fourth grade then. So, yeah, it was a thing, you know. Oshun was looking out that day, but I think it's not more so saying like a stronger woman, meaning like she's stronger than you physically or emotionally or mentally or spiritually. It's just like whatever part of you as a man is weak, that woman has to be extremely strong in. Because if she's like where you are in your weakness, you're not gonna be able to excel or grow. If she is.
I got you.
Yeah, like if she's even 25%, you know, stronger than you are within your weaker moment or weaker aspect of yourself, you're still not going to grow. Like she needs to be way stronger than you are, because in order for, now I realize there are different men in this world, like, you know, like this whole life is a game of chess. Like you have your pawns, you have your rooks, you have your, you know, you have your bishops and you have your kings, and, you know. Some men, you know, are called to be pawns, and you know, you got to play your role. And some men are called to be bishops, some men are called to be rooks, some men are called to be knights, you know, go off and fight the war, some men are called to be kings or whatever that may be. But it's like, in order for you to fulfill that purpose, you have to have that woman that excels in that area that you're weaker in. And I realized, like, and it took me a while to realize that. It was like every woman I dealt with in the past, not saying that they weren't good women,
right, but it was saying,
we always had the same weakness. And the weakness was ego, insecurity. And as a man, like, I was insecure because of my health. They were insecure based off of an image. Or they were insecure based off of something that they lacked that I had, that they felt as if they needed to go get for themselves. And I realized, like, if you have two people who have the same insecurity, it's not going to work.
Right.
Because when you have insecurity, you have ego. And when you have ego, you have pride. And if you have pride, you never have humility. So if you have two people who are not able to be humble towards each other, if you have one person who's able to be humble, but the other person isn't, there's no sympathy. If there's no sympathy, there's no empathy. And if there's no empathy, there's no love. And that means that relationship is going to crash and burn. So, yeah, you definitely, for me personally, and I know a lot of people are like, oh, you know, you just different, or you a strong man. I'm like, I mean, if that's the truth, then, you know, my woman has to be 10 times as strong, because I'm not going to be one of those men and be like, oh, I don't need a woman for nothing. Like, nah, bro, like, you need a woman. Like, I don't care what you say. You need a woman by your side. You're not going to be able to be happy without a woman. Like, you can work all day long, you can make all this money, you can go out to the block, do whatever you want. But if you don't have that woman by your side, it's going to allow for you to, if you don't have that woman on your side, it's going to bring the king out of you. Mm-hmm. And if she's only embracing the fool in you, mm-hmm. you're going to drown every time you hit that water.
I love it.
Yeah, so
she only embracing the fool in you is like another way of looking at it. She only accepts the fullness of what she sees, right?
Exactly.
Which is gonna go into what we're gonna discuss in our book three. But before we do that, I want to touch on, you mentioned your relationships, the balance of men and women. I know I personally, I think we all have to be complete within ourselves, whatever mm-hmm. that is. And for me, that's more or less like being on the path of your purpose, fulfilling your purpose. I have noticed that once people get into a union with another person, it seems as if they start to excel if they're already on that path. Whether they're on that path mentally, they're on it emotionally, they're on it spiritually, but if they're already moving in the direction where they're supposed to go, it's almost like it exponentially starts to grow in that regard. And then in alignment, what you said, when a person is trying to still find themselves and they're kind of wavering, when a person is trying to find themselves and they're still wavering, it seems like they may go deeper into another space. Like for me, the meditation was similar to yours. I think we use the term mental illness like kind of generally. And when most people hear it, they think about actually being diagnosed by a professional, not recognizing that mental illness, just like you have a cold. You don't have to go to the doctor to know you have a cold. If you stump your toe, you ain't got to go to the doctor to know your toe hurt. You need to put some ice on it. You sprain your ankle, same thing. Like you recognize there's illness within your body. There's something that's out of balance within your body. And in your mind, you know when you're out of balance and you've been out of balance in such a way that it disrupts or interferes with what you're trying to achieve or what you're trying to do, your perceptions and things like that. And I had to work through those things myself, which is why I'm so passionate, excuse me now, about helping other people to do the same thing. And writing weekly for the Carolinian about the connection between mind, body, spirit, and soul as a holistic wellness practice, which is similar to what you do as well with your, with True.
TriFit.
I want to say True Fit. Look at that. TriFit US, the helping people work out their body. I'm like, it's the truth. So, but y'all, it's TriFit US because you got to get your body right and your mind. You don't want to have a strong mind and a weak body or a weak body and a strong mind. You know, you want to have both. So I wanted to have you share how people can reach you to strengthen their mind, how they can reach you to get motivated and inspired and in tune with you. And you also mentioned our Orishas. So there's a guy, Wolf Hawk Jaguar. I'm going to play one of his songs in a minute. And I'll have everybody do a 5-minute break. Because we've been diving into some really deep conversation. I'm really grateful that you got two relationship experts on the same platform and every listener can get the male perspective and recognize this toxic masculinity is also a perception. You know, every man is not raised to suppress himself, but people accept the suppression of a man suppressing himself. So then when a man expresses himself, he gets treated like, why are you expressing yourself? But then we don't want you to be toxic at the same time. I'm like, that's crazy. And that creates the mental illness and the emotional imbalances, I believe, from what I witness and what I see in people. Even what I'm hearing you say, it's like you're being yourself. You're expressing yourself. You're saying, hey, woman, I recognize your strength. I recognize who you are. You know, the rich admire the rich. The poor sit there and try to pull you down. So whether you're rich in spirit, mind, body, soul, money, if you're not rich in that way, you can't appreciate it. So I think men have to be more appreciated the same way women are starting to say, I want to be appreciated. Hashtag me too. I'm not doubting it because I've been through it and I've been through it with real R. Kelly's. I don't have to wait for R. Kelly. R. Kelly's in everybody's, not everybody, but is in a lot of our homes and a lot of our neighborhoods, but we don't want to talk about them. You know, that's the shh. But when it's somebody famous, it's like, oh my God, this famous person, like that person didn't grow up in a neighborhood too. And I feel like men go through that same abuses in the relationships, and you're dealing with the mental illness of women who haven't healed from what they should heal from. And then you're trying to heal at the same time, like you said, so you both trying to heal and nobody know how to help the other one heal because they haven't figured out how to heal themselves. And then that's when these practices come in. So yeah, please share people how to reach you and then anything that came up for you with that, and then we'll take a music break.
Okay. All right. So yeah, my name is Coach Nathaniel J. Ali. You can find me on my website, which is trifitusa.com. That's TRIFITUSA.com. For any personal business inquiries, you can email me at CoachNathanielJAli@gmail.com. Anything pertaining to fitness or lifestyle coaching, anything business related, TryFitUSAOfficial@gmail.com. My Instagram is Nathaniel J. Ali, and my business Instagram is TryFitUSA. And my Twitter, which I rarely get on, but you can follow that as well, is Nathaniel J. Ali. Other than that, you know, I'm pretty much an open book. I'm trying to get out of the habit of using Instagram so much, and I think it's because of my followers have increased. I realized that everything is the matrix, like, this whole, and you can easily find yourself plugged into an idea of what reality is supposed to be. And so I'm on Instagram probably from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. After that, I'm really not on it. I'm not checking like people post and, you know, responding to my, you know, comments or their business DMs, you know, other than that. But, you know, I'm on Instagram. So if you want to reach out. If you want to follow, I do follow back. I try my best to follow back. But other than that, that's how you get in touch with me. How you get in touch with me. I do have a TED Talk as well. That's on my website. So
awesome.
If you want to learn about vision and purpose, you know, my TED Talk is on there. And it's also on YouTube, but you'll find my TED Talk on my website.
You know, we're not just going to skip over you having a TED Talk, but we're going to hit it up after the music break. But yeah, just going to sneak in. I got a TED Talk, you know, on vision and purpose, if that's what you're about in life. You know, I know that's what we're talking about and everything, but, you know, just go to the site. So, y'all, he's funny. So for those of you just who are like, how do you spell his name? It's NathanielJAli. So I don't want y'all to be like, I don't know how to spell Ali and all this. There's no excuses. There you go. And we're going to hit up this music break. We're going to go ahead and hear this really awesome song. And it is called Borderline. And it's, you're going to get the message of it. But as you go into it, I want you to think about your life and be grateful for where you are, but also think about those changes and shifts. Because we think about mental illness, it's only there as long as it's accepted. Because you notice both of us stated meditation changes lives, and we're both now coaches and doing a lot of spiritual work and healing for others. So once healed people heal others, and there's people who are ordained to do so. You have two people right now, Nathaniel J. Ali and myself, Dr. Akila Faye, right here available who do those works. If you need to reach me, just hit me up, info@akilafaye.com, info@akilafaye.com. So that's akilafaye, info@akilafaye.com. And website, tribetransform.com. That's tribe, T-R-I-B, as in blessing, E. tribetransform.com. And here we go, Wolf Hawk Jaguar. Wolf Hawk Jaguar, Borderline.
Self-doubt, no more self-hate, borderline. Now being in alignment is a surefire way to receive your blessings. And I've been in alignment now for a few seasons, reasons. People see me in that all white prosperity movement, believing the word. words that we speak and feel it in your soul. You know the way it's feeling. Oh, friend of mine, or it should come down. Victory is mine. All the bad things leave behind. No more self-doubt, no more self-hate. Shelter of love, everybody showing love, and we gon' camp here for the night. But rest assured, the borderline is up ahead. Everybody give it thanks and praise. Everybody make it joyful noise. A young God woke, begin to sing about the beauty and brought a reach of down love.
Everybody make a joyful noise. Everybody make a joyful sound. That's what he was saying in the background. No more self-doubt. No more self-hate. The borderline. No more self-doubt. No more self-hate. Borderline. Everybody make a joyful noise. Everybody make a joyful sound. That change in life. That shift. When you go from being caught up in the moment, literally replaying what happened in the past over and over and making that your present. And when you realize that the present is actually a present, an actual gift, and that you have the power and ability to manifest the dream by waking up and really being present, that your dream is in action and manifesting as you shift yourself. I love that song. So
I love it too. It was amazing. I was sitting here. Hey, there you go. There you go.
So yes, getting your vibes right, you all. However you do that. I actually made some tea too right before our call.
Really?
It got all type of herbs in it though. The main one that I wanted was eucalyptus. It got some black root in it. Licorice, and this one got it got nettle leaf in it. It's some of the main things, some mint. I put some agave in it, but it got about like 15 herbs. So I sit here and just throw herbs in a pot. Mm. Yeah, and I'd be like, "Yep, what vibe do I need?" I'm like, "I need to be relaxed. Mm-hmm. I was like, nah, it was a stressful day. We need to bring that down
right.
a little bit. Or like people come over and they have like depression issues, anxiety. I'll make them something. They're like, oh, I'm about to get high. I'm like, oh, I need you high on like some natural. And they're like, oh my God, how did you do that? I'm like, these herbs, it's all in the earth. And I think that's part of that borderline too, realizing that, you know, you define what you need in your life. Nobody else does. Nobody else does. So what did you get from that song? And then please tell us a little bit about this TED Talk. And I'm going to get the listeners ready for the book, The Four Agreements,
okay.
A Toltec Wisdom Book by Don Miguel Ruiz. And we're actually going to read a little bit from the third agreement called Don't Make Assumptions.
I like it. I like it. Okay, so from the video and the song, basically, when he kept saying borderline, I kept thinking about, I don't know, I went back to what my boxing coach said earlier today. He was like, one, he kept saying that regardless if we know it or not, everyone who's in our lives, we've met before. It's just been on different circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And when you kept saying borderline, I kept going back to what my boxing coach kept saying about how, you know, what you're doing right now, if you're doing something to help better the world, not just better you and the people mm-hmm. around you, but better the world, that makes you revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
And when he kept saying borderline, I realized that when it comes to this world, you have a choice to make.
Right.
And you can either choose peace or you can just choose to be passive and just live in the moment, which mm-hmm. that's what a lot of people in my age do. That's what a lot of people in this generation do. Like they have the look of being a revolutionary. They have the look of being conscious.
Right.
You know, they'll have the locks, they'll have the jewelry, they'll have the beads, you know, they'll have the hair wrap, you know, they'll dress in, you know, dashikis and all that stuff, and they'll paint or they'll do poetry or whatever, but they're not really revolutionaries.
Right.
You know, not saying they're not exercising their gift, but what they're doing is they're just functioning and living in the moment and just embracing their gift. But I feel like when he kept saying borderline, it's like, to me, it's like, you can't cradle that fence. Mm-hmm. It's either you're going to be conscious and be woke and help the world, or you're going to be conscious and woke and just help yourself and just help the little people that's around you. Or you're just going to be on the other side of the fence and just not care at all and just live in the moment. Like, I feel like there's three levels to this whole war. It's like, you're either going to live in the moment, just like the people in the Matrix, you're just going to keep walking in the suit and just working 9 to 5 and think that's all life is about.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to be in the middle of the fence and think life is about going to school to get a degree, going to school to get a job, get a house so you don't have to live at your parents' place, you know, and you're not actually realizing that you got to heal not just what's in you, but you got to heal the things that you've inherited from your family. You got to heal the things that you've inherited from your past lives. And I don't think people who are, quote unquote, claim to be conscious, I don't think they realize that, because they spend their whole life walking in a conscious way.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still damaging and ruining people in the process.
Right.
But they still claim to be conscious. But then you have the people such as yourself who they're not just woke, they're not just conscious. They're revolutionary, but they're not a revolutionary in terms of how they perceive the world. They're revolutionary in terms of how they perceive themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can be a revolutionary, but if you don't acknowledge the revolution within your mind, your emotions, and your spirit, you're not going to be able to go ahead outside of this world and fight the revolution that actually exists outside of you. I think I used to read a lot. I think I heard this quote. I don't know if it was by Huey P. Newton or what, but I think it said, peace be unto those, or peace be given to those who wish to fight for it.
Mm.
And when he kept saying borderline, that's what I kept thinking about. It's like, you know, you can have joy all day long. You can go and seek joy, but if you don't acknowledge that, you have to heal your pain, your trauma, you know, and you don't just heal, you know, from your past relationship. Like, you got to heal every single bit of anger, grief, and sadness that exists within that relationship that you acquired and outside of that relationship before you got into it.
Mm.
And, you know, borderline, it's just, I think there's so many ways you can target that, but For me, that's what it is. It's like you can't pick and choose, you know, what you want to be happy in. It's either you're going to be happy all the time and embrace the good and the bad. You know, we're all human, so we're going to feel some type of way when we come right. against bad situations. But, you know, when it comes to borderline, you got to pick and choose a side. You can't cradle in the middle. You can't cradle on the, you can be on the left and, you know, plug in and work that 9 to 5 and, you uh-huh. know, be a sub boss, no sub boss. Yes, right on time. Yeah, you can do that if you want to. But then if you actually want to be free and want to save people, then you have to acknowledge that you can plug in and look the part like the people on the left side who are plugged into the matrix. Uh-huh. That don't mean you got to be that way. You can look yeah. like them, but you can exercise on the right side and be a revolutionary and just look like these people, but still free people who need to be free. And that I think that's one of the things I chose to do. It's like, no matter how much I wanted to grow locks, no matter how much uh-huh. I wanted to keep locking my beard, it was like, I realized I can get further along in my mission in life with a suit on and go to any Caucasian man and shake hands with him and, you know, talk about Puerto Rican plebiscites and statehood and diplomatic yeah. immunity, and then go right to the hood and talk to the boy about, you know, how to investigate your own business, you know, right. how to meditate, how to heal, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, you get beat at home? Okay, well, let's teach you how to avoid getting beat, because yeah. it's not something that you're doing. It's something that your parents are actually suffering from, and they're taking it out on you. Or it's like, okay, you want to go back to Africa? Okay, let's go back. Okay, let's set you up a plan so that you can repatriate and not suffer in the process. Right. And stuff like that. Because I don't, when he said borderline, like, I just thought about all the people that I met in life and like how they claim to be conscious. But if you're conscious, you have to be conscious here and here. You can't be conscious here and still step over people and kill everything in your path. You can't always have that Ogun type energy. Like, you can't always just destroy because I want to, because I can.
Right, there gotta be a time to build. You gotta be like, you're gonna destroy some things, because every morning you wake up, every night you die. So you're gonna build and destroy. You're gonna build and destroy relationships, ideas. I know I got a goals board. I wrote on it. Y'all looked at it one day, I erased the whole thing. I took a picture first. I might want to go back to it. Then I wrote on it again. I looked at it. I checked some stuff off. Then me and my son went here. We spilled something on it. I was like, I guess I'll erase it again. You know? And that's kind of like life. It's like we outline all these things, even down to like, I think generationally how we think, oh, the younger people, they struggling. The older people struggling. You got old fools and you got some really young, wise people. You know? And I teach from this philosophy called the child within. Mm. And so basically it's a psychological principle that there's always a child within your spirit. Like when you came out the yoni into the world, you were a baby. You were a spirit that already had memories and stuff, all that had been wiped clean. You came back in for a new experience for some reason, whatever that reason is, the agreement that was made. And then as people age, the spirit, that same soul, that same spirit is still there. The only thing that changes is the shell, what people see. But the experiences, the memories, all of that is still there. And how we deal with it, how we decide to remember it, how we decide to apply it, not apply it, that may change. But the actual spirit, the actual soul is there. So if you were a foolish child and you never learned to not be foolish, you're just a foolish old person. Can't call you an elder just because you're 80. You don't have no wisdom to give. You're just an old person. You know, if this 5-year-old can give me more wisdom than a 95-year-old, oh, well, look at this little elder. I might call him a little elder because he's small in stature in that little body. But once his little body becomes a big body, he just going to be an elder, or she just going to be an elder. When that old person died, that's just going to be a good person or a terrible person. It's just not here right now. They got to come back again as a tree, a cow, or another person. Or as people say, it'll be an angel, or they'll be in hell, depending on somebody's belief system. But they all actually say the same thing, which is once your body goes away, your spirit doesn't. Mm-hmm. And whatever you call that spirit, when it becomes whatever it becomes, it's still there. So what we do now matters so much when you said choosing which part you want to be on with the borderline. And some people need to work. Everybody can't have a business. Some people are doing revolutionary work within their job, transforming that business to actually care about employees. You know, that's something that I know I personally love helping companies do. It starts to value people again. because we're not machines and they want to act like we are at a lot of these really major corporations and some of the small ones. And a lot of that, again, comes from the child within. Why are you putting all this pressure on them? What are you doing to yourself? Because that's what your business is reflecting, is what you're doing to yourself, and vice versa. And why are you staying in this toxic environment, whether it's your job, your relationship, your own situation? Your own situation. You're saying that for everybody listening, your own situation, because it's your situation. Own your situation, literally. Own it. Take responsibility for it and then shift it. And so I appreciate you sharing vision and purpose and then blending it with the borderline. So I caught what you was doing for the listeners. I hope you got those jewels down. Excuse me. And I can't believe we are almost at the end of the show. I know, right? Because you're so dope.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate you. The book read. I know you said you were like, that's what's up. So again, for everybody, it's a Toltec Wisdom Book, The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. It's a practical guide to personal freedom. This is a very popular spiritual book. Had you never read it or heard of it, please make sure you do. We're just going to read a little bit. The main line of the third agreement, don't make assumptions. The third agreement is don't make assumptions. We have the tendency to make assumptions about everything. The problem with making assumptions is that we believe they are the truth. We could swear they are real. We make assumptions about what others are doing or thinking. We take it personally. Then we blame them and react by sending emotional poison with our word. That is why whenever we make assumptions, we're asking for problems. We make an assumption, we misunderstand, we take it personally, and we end up creating a whole big drama for nothing. We create a lot of emotional poison just by making assumptions and taking it personally, because usually we start gossiping about our assumptions. Remember, gossiping is the way we communicate to each other in the dream of hell and transfer poison to one another because we are afraid to ask for clarification. We make assumptions and believe we are right about the assumptions. Then we defend our assumptions and try to make someone else wrong. It is always better to ask questions than to make an assumption, because assumptions set us up for suffering. And that is page 63, a little bit of 64, and the top sentence on page 65. There's a few more pages. We're not going to read the whole thing, but I suggest that you get the four agreements yourself. And remember, it is the red book, because there's three or four other companion books that go with this. But the four agreements is the main book. So, my friend, I digress. What are your thoughts?
I loved it. Actually, it spoke into my life like instantly. But I know, personally, yeah, me personally, my biggest thing is I assume a lot. And I know within anything that I do, it could be a relationship or whatever, but I do assume a lot. I assume a lot based off of the unknown, which creates anxiety. Mm. I assume a lot based off of fear, which comes from the unknown. I assume a lot based off of vulnerability. Mm. I assume a lot based off of not being confident enough within myself. But I realize that sometimes if your assumptions, which could be false, mm-hmm. if you're assuming based off of whatever, fear or what have you, but you're doing it from a place of love. Mm. You know, the Most High, the universe is always going to honor that particular part of love. It don't matter if you effing up within that part of love. The universe is gonna be like, okay, I see you trying. You know, you're trying. You're right, but you're trying. And the universe kind of comes. The universe, you know. So
it's not just that relationship with that physical person, but you
right.
You done made a positive deposit, and it's like, okay,
right.
Okay.
Yeah, and the universe
said deuces. Daniel's like, I gotta go. But the universe
exactly.
Is like, that's cool. I'm going to bring you back another opportunity because you tried.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because sometimes the universe will chime in and be like, okay, like you assuming, and like this person like kind of likes you, but you assuming. You kind of messing it up, but I'm a shift the whole thing and get you to see that you're not necessarily messing it up alone, because somewhere along the lines, when people assume in relationships and you're doing it from a place of love, the universe and the Most High is going to show you like you're assuming for a reason. And it's not because of just your fear alone. It's because somebody's allowing for you to have those fears.
See, now I'm about to ask you this question though. So you're loving a person, you assuming.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mr. Ruiz said, and I believe this too, why not just ask the question before making the assumption? Like, why not just say, hey, I'm wondering if
right
this is what's happening, you know, or I'm curious. I'm thinking that you told me you went to the grocery store. I just don't feel in my gut you went to the grocery store.
Right.
Is that where you went? And then when the person answers it, right? Accept the answer. Like, because I've had this with people where they're like, well, I don't believe you. And this is my response. That's your issue. And they're like, that's rude. I'm like, no, I'm not going to take responsibility for your thoughts, feelings, and emotions. If I give an answer and you say, well, why did you do that? And I tell you, this is why I did it. And you want to tell me why I did what I did when I just told you why, then that's your problem, your movie, your book, your reality. I'm going to continue to live my peaceful, loving reality and let this person, as the book said, live in their heletic. I added the heletic, but he said hell. You know, but their heletic reality, because apparently that's what the person wants. Because heaven and hell is what we experience now. It's not something in the future. It may be. But for facts, every day you in heaven or hell.
Exactly.
And if your life is chaotic and full of chaos, those assumptions might be the thing. Might just need to ask a question every now and then. We tell children, ask questions. But then when we get older, it's like, I can't ask no questions. I'm grown. I shouldn't have to ask nothing. Like, why?
Right.
Why do we stop asking?
I think the only way that your anxiety can ruin something, even by asking, or your assumptions can ruin something, even by asking that person answering it, is if their answer does not line up with their actions. And then that causes more assumptions. I think that is the only possible way, because when I look back at everything I've been through relationship-wise and situation-wise, I always assume, and I will ask. They will give me an answer straight out. Their energy shifted outside of that answer.
Okay.
And then that created more fear, that created more anxiety, that presented illusions, that started making a false sense of security come up. Then I created more assumptions off of that. Then I'm trying to find answers, and then they stop answering. And it's because the energy has already shifted. But like I said, I think, honestly, when it comes to assuming, it all depends on the situation. It all depends on who is involved. It all depends on certain variables. Because like I said, if you're assuming from a place of love and you just effing it up, but you ain't effing it up alone, the universe will be like, okay, you're not effing it up by yourself. I'm going to show you who's also effing it up. Because at the same time, if you are making assumptions, it's either you're not aligned with what's in front of you, or what's in front of you is not aligned with you. And that's how I see it, you know.
I feel like you have a gift of intuition, but you haven't necessarily embraced it yet, so I'll talk to you offline about that. Might have that same thing happening. You may think you're making assumptions, like, oh man, oh. And you got, I'm gonna call you little spider sense going off. Like, you ever see the cartoon? Me and my son watch cartoons, and we just watch Spider-Man of the Spider-Verse, and it was really awesome. And they show all these different versions of Spider-Men and Spider-Women. There was a Spider-Pig. I mean, it was just all these different Spider characters from back from 1950 something all the way into 3028. One of the Spider-People was a little Japanese girl with a robot. It was so dope. And every time they could sense something was happening, there was like these little like lightning bolt type looking little drawings that went around their whole head like a little crown. So like a little afro or lightning bolt. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, that's what we be feeling. Like, oh, I'm assuming. No, that's your intuition. Your intuition don't need to be verified by nobody but you. And then you just have to make a decision. But a something is like, you ain't got no real spider sense. You just kind of like, I don't know.
Them red flags are always there. They always there. My elder, she told me, my roster elder, she told me the other day, she said, I told exactly what I told you. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, so this be happening. She said, that's your third eye, but you just right. not embracing it.
Right.
And I'm like, you telling me? Like, I be seeing red flags from the get-go. Mm-hmm. She, like, she literally sat me down. She, like, asked me questions. And I'm like, no, I saw that the first week. Mm-hmm. Now the second week, I saw the same thing, but it kind of got worse. She like, that's your third eye. Like,
right.
like
right.
if you didn't have a third eye, you wouldn't see it. You know, you would be literally stuck in the situation, but your third eye kind of kicked in a little bit, so you kind of got out of it quicker mm-hmm. than a normal person. But yeah, that's right on the head. Hit the nail right on the head.
That's the work I do with people. It's so dope. It's great. I love the spirit. It's awesome. I love my spirit. Give thanks for me and for you and for everybody listening. Give thanks for yourself, you all, no matter what you're doing. Give thanks for who you are and how you function, because there's a lesson in that. And our spirits are older than our bodies. Mm. And even the third eye is just our spirit looking through. Our physical eyes really aren't the things doing the seeing. But that's a whole nother conversation for another day. That's a workshop y'all should attend. That's a lot of things that you could develop in that aspect right there. On the topic of assuming, though, and you mentioned fear and you mentioned the unknown. Mm-hmm. In the beginning of our podcast, I had mentioned that people replay past memories in the present, and that's what keeps unfolding, right? Mm-hmm. The reason people replay past memories is because it's familiar and they know them. The only mm-hmm. thing you can know is what you've already experienced, like know emphatically. Mm-hmm. So when people replay those memories over and over and it keeps happening, they're like, okay, cool, I knew that was gonna happen, right? Because you created it. To go into the unknown is the unfolding of your vision, the unfolding of what you sense could be real but have yet to experience. And because you haven't experienced, you don't know what to really do. Because you don't know what to do, every action is brand new. Like little children, you never notice, they don't know that they can, when they first can walk, like my son and anybody with children, or you've seen a child, when they first learn they can walk, you ever notice the next thing they do is climb on top of furniture and jump off?
Yes.
They don't have no fear. Little joke, I can fly. You like, what? They, whoops, pop. You know, like, what? Like, oh my God, no. They get up laughing. They cool. They go fly again. You like, okay, this baby keep flying. I had an old man tell me one time, he said, flying was never the issue. It was landing.
Ooh.
What? He was like, you know, okay, everybody can fly, but that landing part, you got to get that smooth. And I think that's why some of us assume, because we want to fly, we don't know how to land, but we know what it was like when we drove in a car. We know what it was like when we rode a bike. And it feels safer to do that, but it doesn't feel better. And you said something profound, like if you ask the question, the energy shift, right? But you ask the question so that the energy could shift.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't want to be in a certain situation. So now you verify, oh, I was wrong. Awesome. Energy shift into peace. Or it shifts into like, dang, I was right and they acting funny. Now that's, again, owning your responsibility, owning your life, and saying, dang, I got to make a choice. Now, do I pretend with them? Mm-hmm. Like, it ain't really happening? Or do I just make this separation like a teenager? Yeah, I don't like Billy no more. What you mean? Oh, he wore a blue shirt. I ain't like it. I broke up with her. I dated his best friend now. Ain't nobody say nothing about it. Everybody was cool. No, she with Dan now. Little dude, now I ain't with Rebecca no more. What you mean? Oh, she wore this ponytail. I told her to take it out. She didn't want to take it out. I started dating Keisha over here. What? Yeah, it's cool. They don't have no friends. But as adults, there's this, what if they don't like me back? Okay. What if I got to be alone for a while? Okay. What if I got to get to know somebody new? Okay.
Right.
you know, versus living in hell. Like, live your heaven, embrace your heaven. You know what I mean? So, I don't know if you want to share anything else with the reading or expound upon that before we go into dropping our final jewel for our listener, giving them a recap of how to reach you and ending with prayer.
Okay. I think the one last tidbit that I would say is that, piggybacking off of what you said, when it comes to relationships, I feel as if millennials, we have to be mindful of narcissism. We have a habit of dating narcissists, and then we have a habit of being narcissists. And we never realize who is what and what is who. And we do it based off of, like, we do it based off of ego, and we do it based off of fear. That's the only way narcissism is formed. It's based off of ego, or it's based off of fear. And I can admit I've been a narcissist once or twice in my relationship.
I think we all have.
And I can also admit that I've been the receiver of narcissistic emotions from another person once or twice. And I realized that as a millennial, the only way that you can actually, I guess, avoid or even learn how to overcome being the victim of a narcissist in a relationship is, one, ask the universe and the Most High to show you who that person is up front and like straight up, like at the beginning. Because I realized that as a spiritual man, I always do it towards the end. It's because I do it towards the end, because now I don't know who they are. Because who I thought they were is not who they are now. And it doesn't matter it doesn't even matter if I'm completely wrong about every single woman I've ever been with in my life. It don't matter if none of the women in my life have ever cheated on me. What matters is that it's the fact that their energy shifted and they presented situations to me and their emotions and love for me in the way that made me feel insecure. But that's only because they were narcissistic. And as a millennial, especially as a man and as a woman, like, you have to realize how to have enough, I guess, strength within yourself to sit down and have introspection so that you can heal properly from the victim of narcissism. And in addition to that, it's like, you can have a person say that there's nobody else all day long. All right. And so I realized, like, from what my boy told me, is that, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a man, doesn't matter if it's a woman. If a person tells you that they're not dealing with anyone, you as a person, you got to trust their word. You have to trust their word, because as a man, you got to realize, like, your word is your bond. That's all you have. And as a person, that's just really all it is. Mm-hmm. And if a person tells you that, you got to believe them. And if they start acting funny in any other way, you have to acknowledge that energy. And like how you said, you can't make assumptions. You have to make your judgment based off of what you see. If a person doesn't want to, you know, be in a relationship with you, or be a friend to you, or be a mother to you, be a father to you, be a brother to you, based off of something that you're dealing with or who you are, you have to be woman enough or man enough and confident enough within yourself to step aside and just know that the Most High pulled y'all apart. Because together, y'all were going to destroy each other. Like, either one was going to feed off the other and succeed in life, or the other one, you know, was just going to, you know, get all the hellectic from it and, you know, be dragged down. Because all narcissists are, they're parasites. They're parasitic. Right. And unfortunately, I think one thing that I realized based off of this conversation is that, and it kind of opened my eyes a little bit towards the people in my generation, is that I think as a person, as a healer at my age, and as a coach and all this stuff, it's like, I want everyone to be like me. I want everyone to be a healer. I want everyone to heal. But then I realize it's like, even the people that I've met, we fell out because, and the Most High told me this in the dream, it's like, they're going to stay in the same place that they are. And I think that's the saddest part for me to even admit. And it's not because I've been, you know, practicing shamanism for a while. It's not because I'm Rastafarian. It's not because, you know, I pray, you know, and I want to see people succeed. Like, it hurt because I'm like, dad, like, we all can't do it. Like, we all can't do
it. That was a hard lesson for me, too. We're going to have to do a talk on that. That was a hard lesson. Like, because you love people and you want everybody to feel that joy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to add another Spider-Man lesson. Y'all got to watch these cartoons, man. Like, in Spider-Man and the Spider-Verse, right? Each Spider-Man had somebody they loved who was close to them die in front of them, and they couldn't save that person. It was an uncle for some. It was a father. I think for one, it was like a best friend. But it was somebody who was really close and very influential to them. And when the new Spider-Man who came out, he was I think his name was Miguel. He was a Spanish boy. And he was in high school. And all of them got bit by a spider. All had the same beginning story, but then the other parts were different. And when his uncle died, his uncle was a villain that was trying to kill him. He didn't know his uncle was the villain, and his uncle ain't know he was a new Spider-Man. So his uncle's about to choke the life out of him. He pulled the mask off. He's like, Uncle Vinny, no. Please. I mean, he kind of choked, so he gasped, but he ain't saying it as clear as I'm saying it. But he was like, please, Uncle Vinny, no, no. He was like, Miguel? So his boss shot him. Bam. His uncle died. He dragged his uncle to the alley, his dad a police officer. He leaves. His dad is now thinking the new Spider-Man killed the uncle, not realizing that, again, that's his son, right? So little boy just like, dang, my daddy looking for me. My uncle just died, tried to kill me. Then he decided to save me, so he had to die for me to live. So all the other Spider-Men were like, look, man, the hardest thing about this job is you can't save everyone.
That's true.
And I think that's what we all have. You can't save everyone. Like,
we
got to save the ones that you're supposed to save. And you don't know who they are. You just got to do what you do and be like, hey.
Exactly.
Do your best, you know? And when you have a perceived casualty, I'm going to start adding that word, a perceived casualty. Mm-hmm. Just know that's they pass for whatever reason. And there's a lesson in that also for us to take and apply to another person, apply to ourselves, apply to the next journey. It might be some karma that was getting cleared. I mean, there's so many reasonings behind those separations and deaths. Because death isn't just physical, it's mental, it's emotional, you know. And learning to be okay with it. Like that old person who sit there, you like, man, blah, 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 blah. Have they just go, And you like, what? You feel like you just told them the world ended. They like,
Yep.
You got to get that type of disposition. Just that. It ain't if you don't care, you just accepting. Like, did you do your best? Yes. Did you try? Yes. Did you put forth effort? Yes. What more could you have done other than live, jump in their body?
That part. Yeah.
You know what
I'm saying? I don't think you want to do that.
Right. Look, you said you don't even like, right. So if you could, would you? Like,
you don't want that energy. I don't think you want to step in that water.
Trying to get nobody, like, hey, right. I ain't bothering nobody but my body.
Right.
So, you know, it's those opportunities for growth and those choices. And my jewel for today is watch cartoons, learn a lesson, reach out to transform your life to Nathaniel
J. I don't watch TV, but I'm gonna have to get
Yeah, you gotta get on and reach out to me, Dr. Akilah Faye. I am a healer. I am a coach. I am ordained. I am an educator. If you want to name the list, but at the end of the day, I'm here to help you transform your life and know that healing is real and to provide you with the strategies and support to do so as a spiritual guide and educator. And thank you for tuning into the show. Really appreciate every single person who's listening, who shares, who downloads. It was so exciting. I want to shout out our listeners in Venezuela. Our listeners in New Zealand, UK, Canada, all across the US, Costa Rica, the Bahamas, Sweden, and any place I forgot, blame it on my mind and not my heart, because I really, really appreciate all of you. And it's a beautiful journey, and we are just beginning. If this is your first time tuning in, then you know this is more than just a show. This is truly a time to transform and relax. Again, reach out to Nathaniel J. Ali, who came on with Try TriFitUS.com, TriFitUS.com. And then check him out, Google Nathaniel J. Ali, NathaNiel, J.Ali. Follow him on Instagram. Check out the website, connect on business, see what you can get, what you can give. Connect with me, info@akilafay.com and tribetransform.com. And make sure that you share the page and shout out to iHeart for, you know, the partnership with us being on iHeart, and Bashani for also having us syndicated on their network and iTunes and everywhere else that plays us. Before we go into prayer, would you like to say anything, sir?
I will say that as a person who's still growing, evolving, I know the people, you know, they call me king or some call me chief or whatever. I feel as if I'm still earning that. But I will say, you know, if it comes, like I said before, if it comes, let it come. If it goes, let it go. No matter what you do, just flow like water. Always, you know, receive the blessings. Stay balanced. You know, if you ever find yourself unbalanced, you know, find your equilibrium. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's just like, realize that anything that you feel in regards to any situation, whether it be anger, sadness, grief, happiness, embrace it. Embrace it and don't marinate on it. If it's negative, don't marinate on it too long. Like, let it be what it is and learn from it and pinpoint the root of why you feel that way. And after that, move forward. Because once you move forward, you can't move back. And once you move forward, the only way is up, because that's the only way you build momentum. And it's like, other than that, you know, just enjoy life. Like, because, you know, regardless of what you believe in, right? If it's Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Christianity, you know, okay. Rastafari, like, at the end of the day, all the books end the same way. So life is too short. Life is too short. And, you know, the body is just a vehicle transporting the soul. So take care of that. And, you know, be like water, let it flow. So
awesome. So Creator, we ask you to allow us to be the water and allow us to flow into our next phase. Thank you for each and every person who had the ability to tune in and to truly tune in with their spirit to hear. Thank you for Nathaniel coming onto the show. Thank you for allowing myself to be here. Thank you for all of the wonderful sponsors who are already here and coming. Thank you for those who are reaching out to be here and sharing it. Thank you for each person who's being blessed and allow everyone to be a blessing. We thank you at this time and call forth the energy of transformation, knowing that whatever is bothering you within your spirit, for it to be shaken up and loosened and brought to the awareness of the present mind so that it can begin to heal and for resources to come forth for everyone to be able to receive whatever help they need, whatever support they need, whatever courage they need to simply open their mouth and ask the question. Allow each and every person to just ask the question and then have the ears to hear and the eyes to see and the hands and heart to receive and to represent themselves in the highest form of divinity that they are and true form of divinity that we are, knowing that we are not limited to our bodies unless we choose so. Our spirits are expansive. We are connected to these. Thank you for blessing our families, blessing our friends, blessing our travels, blessing our bank accounts, blessing our abundance, blessing our abilities, and continuing to be with us, shield us, and guide us in all spheres, shapes, and forms. Ashe, ashe, ashe. And as always, if no one has told you all, I love you. Mwah! Until next time, peace, peace, and peace.
Hey, hey, it's Flo. And you know what word I've never understood? Top hat. Aren't all hats on top? They're like the toppest part of every outfit, unless I've been doing it wrong. That's why I stick with simple words like Flotection. It means the sense of security you'll feel when your new home is protected by home insurance through me and Progressive. Also, there shouldn't be a top hat unless there's a bottom hat. Wait, is that what underwear is?
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Stay locked in and fully loaded. Bashani Radio and Verkay Radio. They said we couldn't do it, but we global now, worldwide. Boom! In your face.